I would like to, if for a short time today, consider some themes around this Christmas season. It does become contingent upon us throughout this season to remember that Christmas is about Jesus. There's so much else going on increasingly all the time, so it is contingent upon us to really concentrate and focus, because Christmas is about a son that was given. We can enjoy Christmas in its entirety, giving gifts, accepting gifts. I'm anticipating gifts coming my way in a couple of days. I don't know what they'll be. I know what one will be, though. Based upon my wife's recognition that my slippers are raggedy, I know that I got a box of slippers coming. Apart from that, and what else? And we'll be thankful to God for whatever comes. But I do want to really just thank God for Jesus, and thank God that He came, lo, these many years ago. But not only that He came to me, and saved my soul. And we'll go over a little bit on that a little bit later on. Christmas is about a son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And we even know that from the Old Testament. Isaiah wrote very early in his book, "For unto us a child is born, but even more important, unto us a son is given." And we do thank God for a son that was given. We are mindful that there is a great need for those in our family, for those we work with, for those in our community to recognize the need for receiving Jesus. There's a great need. And we're ever aware of that. We'll touch on a few themes of that this morning. I also always want to remember, being in the profession I'm in, that the Christmas season, although it is a very joyous occasion, and we who know Jesus, we receive all of that blessing. Christmas at times can become a not so joyous for some people. I've seen it in my work. I've seen it in my family. People are fooled sometimes. You're watching TV, the commercial will come on, and it's a husband and wife with little kids coming in the house with presents, and everybody in the house is joyous, and frivolity is going on. Well, for a lot of people, it's not like that. And it can be rather difficult. Before I worked at the hospital, I ran some group homes for a service in the area. We had a woman there. She was in her 50s, chronic mentally ill, and every Christmas, she would do the same thing. She would begin to take care of herself. She would go and buy some new clothes. She would put on makeup. And it was always because my family's going to come and see me this year. Well, the family never came. Most of them were out of state, those who were here. And it was just rock bottom. And it happened. So maybe we want to make sure that we're bringing that message of love and cheer, maybe to those who are not receiving that in this time. We want to celebrate Jesus. We want to speak about that first Advent. Now, I did give a little title to this discussion we're having, and the title is "Breaking News from the Cable News Bureau in Bethlehem." Breaking news from the Cable News Bureau in Bethlehem. Now, what was happening in Bethlehem at this time was routine, but with a little more. Because the census was being taken and people were going back to the place of their family's heritage, Bethlehem, although it was a little place, had a little more hustle and bustle to it. There would have been more soldiers in town to take care of the census, to make sure things ran right. We know that there were visitors. There was no room for Mary in the inn when they got there. Now, there's speculation as to why, but there was no room. So there was hustle and bustle, but it was routine. Children were being readied for bed this night. The inn was full with whatever kind of frivolity they were doing there. The animals were being housed for the night. So it was a routine night. But it is in the routine nights that we can look for the hand of God to come in a great way, even till today. So we just want to make sure of that. Well, breaking news. Our correspondent Luke gives us the breaking news for the day. If we can turn to, first of all, let me read something else. We're going to be turning to Luke chapter 2, but I want to read that God is in control of all things, and he has been forever, and he will forever. Way back when, in the book of Micah, "But as for you, Bethlehem, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from days of eternity. Therefore he will give up until the time when she who is in labor has borne a child, and the reminder of his brethren will return to the sons of Israel. And he will arise and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord God, and they will remain, because at that time he will be great to the ends of the earth." And we all know Jesus was present in all that God did throughout time. But let's turn, if we will, to the Gospel of Luke and the second chapter. Our first breaking news brought to us by Luke is found in verse 8. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. "And in the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. The angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terribly frightened. The angel of the Lord said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, for which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.'" Blessed be the reading of his word together. An angel appears with a great message of hope. Now the shepherds, we know, were not considered to be the elite people of the town. It was a lowly task. There was no schooling that went into being a shepherd. There was not a lot of training in being a shepherd. You kept the sheep. And they were in their normal routine. They were out in the field watching the sheep, making sure they were taken care of, keeping them away from any dangers in the normal routine. In the normal routine, the angel comes and stands before them. As I was reading and preparing, I'm thinking, you have to be careful. You have to be careful to make sure Jesus isn't taken out of Christmas. You have to be careful to remember that it is in the daily routine that God is going to come to it. It is in our daily personal routine. And it is in the routine of the church, praying together, worshiping together, sharing the word together, that God is going to come and he is going to do a great thing. Considered a lowly occupation. But we look to God, because God is no respecter of persons. It was to these lowly ones, not to the innkeepers, not to the magistrates in Bethlehem, not to the political leaders, but to those lowly shepherds in the field. God comes with a great message of great joy. You see, he chooses when he will come. And he chooses to whom he will come. We'll trust that God will choose when he is going to come. I know there's some, I listen to the prayer requests and I talk. I know there are some of you who are looking for God to come in a great way to do some real important things with your family, with your friends, with your loved ones, with your illness. I know. God knows when he's going to come, and God will take care of those things that are needed to be taken care of. He chooses who. It's in the normal routine of personal practice, in the practice of the church, that God is going to come, and we're going to be astounded, like these shepherds were, of what God is beginning to do. It's from Isaiah that we get these words: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me." Now we find that again in the book of Luke in the 4th chapter, as Jesus goes into the synagogue and he is handed the book, and it's open to Isaiah. And as we just read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me." And Jesus in the end will say, "This is me. You've seen it fulfilled in this day." Look at what he's going to do. "He has come to preach the gospel to the poor, to the shepherds in the field." That's where he started with this message. "To proclaim release to captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are downtrodden, and to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." God is no respecter of persons. You may be sitting here and you say, "I don't know. Can God?" I often do that. Will God do that for me? Can God do that for me? I've told you before, I know God loves me. I know he does. It's all over the book, time and time again. My problem is I wonder sometimes if God likes me. So therefore, you know, sometimes I wonder, what is God going to do? We'll trust in God. He knows when to come. He knew from time in the beginning, from eternity, Christ was born for us and Christ died for us. Breaking news was taking place. And those who he came, just regular people, shepherds, stable keepers, Bethlehemites, not Jerusalemites. He came to the Bethlehemites. That's who God... Let's trust that God sees us for who we are and will believe and will trust in him. Luke gives us an update on the breaking news, though. And we go back to chapter 2, and now we're reading at verse 15. Now we have an update. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began to say to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then, and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and to Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told to them about the child, and all who heard it wondered at the things which were being told them by the shepherds. Luke gives us another breaking news. There are shepherds in the field telling strange tales about things that were going on. Now it's interesting that the book tells us that an angel came and gave this message to the shepherds. And then immediately the sky was filled with a multitude of angels praising God and giving him glory. And the shepherds saw it. Now, Bethlehem's not a very big place. Nobody else saw this. Because when the shepherds bring the tale to them, this is what's happening. They're all scratching their head and wondering why. May God impress upon us this. He has something for us. He is going to do something for us. Now, he may involve me in your blessing. He may involve you in my blessing, but God has a blessing for the individual. When he came, it was to those lowly shepherds. Nobody else knew. Everybody wondering, what in the world are they saying? How can this be? The breaking news is that God comes to his people. And the breaking news for us today is that God will come. He will come. And as this new year begins, I'm going to ask you to trust with me, and I'm going to trust with you that God's going to come in a great way. Something new, something great from the hand of God. Hearing this message, they say, well, let's go. Let's go see what we've been told. And they act, they go, and they find. There's a thing about the things of God and his word. When you find out and you begin to act and you go, you will find. You will seek for me and you will find me when you seek for me with all of your heart. May God grant us the grace in these coming days to begin to turn over to with all my heart. With all my heart, I'm going to find him, and he is going to do a great thing for me. It is ever important to position ourselves in the place where the leading can come. It's important to position ourselves in the place where God can come and deliver the message. The shepherds weren't doing anything different. They were doing what they were supposed to be doing. They put themselves in a position where God could come and where God could bless. And they put themselves in a position where they could receive. May God help us, all of us, to that our hearts may be open and our hearts might be able to receive those very things that God is doing. May his name be praised forever. Here's an interesting point, and we'll reiterate on that. The heavens were filled with angels. Bethlehem, the skies were filled with a multitude, but it was only the shepherds who could see. Don't be surprised, folks. Don't be surprised. If God's going to do something, and nobody else is going to be able to understand it until he comes and he makes the difference. Nobody else could see it, only the shepherds. And when they began to tell everybody scratching their head and wondering, oh, I want to see the day when that will happen for us. When we will have a message in our heart and people will, wow, really? Really? I was taken back to my when I got saved on this very verse. I had been working with a friend of mine. We were going to open a jewelry business. We both worked for Tiffany's. Remember Tiffany's over in Newark? They had the factory there. It's a condominium now. In fact, I was there. The first Super Bowl trophy was made right there in Newark. The silver football, you've seen it. The first one was made right there. And I used to work there. My friend, his parents were devout Christians, very good people of God. And we opened this business in his cellar. We had some tools and we would get some stuff. We would begin fashioning jewelry. And every day I would go to his house. And every day they were faithful to tell me about Jesus. Every day. In fact, it was so relenting that one day I told him, John, can you please open the cellar door so I can come in that way? But they were relentless. telling me about Jesus, telling me about Jesus. And then one Sunday afternoon, they had a pool in the back. I found the Lord at that house. God has a message. Others may not be able to see it. It may be right in front of them, but God will open our hearts to it. And we will begin to talk, and people will wonder. And trust me, as we give out His word, as we pray, the family will come to know Him. The friends will become inquisitive. As we pray here, the neighbors who pass by this church all their lives and never saw it, God will give them the eye to see it. Hey, what's going on there? I need something. Maybe they can help me. As we remain faithful in our routine, doing what God would have us to do, even if it's as lowly as being a shepherd. May His name be praised. Begin to tell everyone in Bethlehem. And all wondered. Multitudes filling the sky. And the shepherds were the only ones who were aware. Best place in the world to be is where God wants you to. Whether it be a stable, whether it be an open field, whether it be a barn, the best place to be is to be where God has drawn us to be, has brought us to go. The best places, aware of what God is doing and trusting in Him for His blessing. May God grant us the grace of these shepherds. May He give us the heart of these shepherds, doing what they're supposed to be doing. And when God moves, they go. When God moves, they act. And when they act, they find. They found Jesus. It wasn't the mayor of town. It wasn't the town council. It wasn't the rich people in town who found. It was the shepherds. Only because God had moved upon them. May God grant us that. After a commercial break, we now have more breaking news. More breaking news from the cable channel in Bethlehem. This time, it comes from the correspondent Matthew. So if you'll turn with me to the book of Matthew, the second chapter there, we'll see what breaking news we can find, okay? Matthew chapter 2. And the breaking news is this. Wayward nobles have come to Jerusalem and are asking strange questions. That's the breaking news from Matthew. Matthew chapter 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod, the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." And when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Now, a lot of conjecture as to who these people were. They're magi. We can just assume a few things about them just because of their place. They had come on a long journey. They were very learned men. They were men of means. They would have had a large entourage with them. Very dangerous to travel from where they traveled from to Jerusalem in those days. So they would have had a large entourage with them. They were learned men. They were able to ascertain by looking at the skies what was going on. They saw a star, and they knew what that star was. And God prompted them, begin to follow this star. Magi, kings, we think of them as kings due to their gifts. But they were magi. It's the word we get magistrate from. That's where we get magistrate. Magistrate is a leader, somebody who leads. We have magistrates in town. We have magistrates in the state, people who are leaders. These were men, learned men, men of means. Important here to note that God spoke to them from a star. He spoke to them from a star. Now, in those days, God spoke in many and differing ways. You remember to the Pharaoh. He spoke to him in a dream. And Joseph was able to interpret that dream, give God the honor and glory, and have God's people increase. To Belshazzar, God spoke to him by a giant hand finger as it wrote down on the wall of the castle, many, many tekel upsarin. And Daniel was able to interpret that and give God the honor and glory and have God's people increased. Daniel becoming Lord over many. Numbers 22 tell us something very, very interesting. Balaam, who was riding a donkey going to curse the nation of Israel, the donkey talks to Balaam. God spoke in many, many different ways to people in the old times. The book of Hebrews tells us this. God, who has spoken in times past, in many times and in many ways, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, Jesus. Sometimes, and I do this, sometimes I'm looking for a sign. I'm looking for a fleece I can throw on the ground that in a rainstorm that will come back to me dry. Or if it's dry, come back to me wet. And I always have to revert back to, in these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son, our Savior and Lord Jesus. The wise men, the magi, when they went into Jerusalem, they said to Herod, "We saw his star." Not "we saw a star." We saw his star. They recognized exactly what was going on. I to this day, I have to believe that God will do that for us, that he will begin to speak to us, and we will see exactly what he's doing. We will know exactly what he wants, especially in these days that our pastor even said are the last days. When we're looking for his return with open hearts, following a routine, making ourselves available to God, God will bring about in us an understanding. We saw his star, not just a star. We saw his star. But these wise men do give us pause. We have to consider this. We know that, well, we don't know, but by the language that we're given here, we could pretty well assume that they saw this star 2 years prior and have been following this for a number, a year at least. Because when Herod got them together, he asked them, when did you see this star? And then Herod, when they go, has all the babies 2 years and younger killed. So 2 years they've probably been looking at that star. So for 2 years and many thousands of miles, they are following this star. We can't get waylaid. Remember, the breaking news is waylaid nobles have come to Jerusalem and are asking strange questions. That's the headline. Because they follow this star for a long period of time, over great distances, and 5 miles from the destination, they go in a different direction. Jesus wasn't in Jerusalem. Jesus was in Bethlehem, 5 miles away. So these kings, they do give us pause to remember, and young people, you remember this. We can't get waylaid. We have to keep our eyes on Jesus. We have to follow his plan and his plan, or else dire consequences will happen. Babies died because these magi, these wise men, stopped following God's plan and went to where they thought the King of Kings would be born. Certainly, the King of Kings was going to be born in the greatest city of the land. Certainly, the King of Kings was going to be born in the greatest edifice of the land. Certainly, the King of Kings was going to be born where the greatest doctors were available to keep him. That's how they thought. So they go to Jerusalem. The star was bringing them to Bethlehem, where he was born, not in a great edifice, but in a stall. Not with doctors, but with stable hands to take care of him. May God grant us the grace to discern. And there's scriptures, multitudes of scriptures, saying that God will give us a discerning heart. He will give us the ability to discern and to see what he is really doing. They followed that star for a year at great distance, and the last five miles, they go off track, and babies die as a result. May God grant us an understanding that apart from him, we can do nothing. And anybody who tries to build the house without him building the house builds in vain. And I think that those consequences are growing leaps and bounds, taking a look at the society we're involved in, where evil has just taken over and permeated. You see the things that are happening in schools and other places. What are happening with the youth? What kind of counsel they're getting on who they are and what they are and what they should do. It's imperative that we don't waver, but we follow that star. We follow that star to where Jesus is. And we find him. They heard, they acted, they went, and they found. What a beautiful prescription for us in this day and age. Amen? In a lowly town, in a common stable, surrounded by the most commonest of people, Jesus is born. May Jesus be born this day, tomorrow, and Tuesday in our hearts in the commonest of ways as we take for routine. That's his name. Breaking news. After a commercial break, we get the last segment of breaking news. And it comes to us in a round table, a discussion of the commentators. And if you could turn with me, you're already there, right? You're at Matthew 2. Matthew 2. Herod, the king, heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. That was amazing. These were the keepers. These were the gatekeepers of the word of God, the gatekeepers of the prophecy. And when the prophecy comes true, they get worried. They get troubled. They're the gatekeepers. How strange are human beings, his creation. How strange when these things begin to happen. But back to the breaking news. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea. And we read that from Micah. They're quoting what we read. So Herod calls for the talking heads to come to sit around the table to discuss. And he asks them where, and they tell him. They had the answer all the time. And I was thinking about this as I was, you know, just contemplating this. I have the answer all the time also. You know how many Bibles I own? I'm telling you, it's a shame. Well, not a shame, but I must own a dozen, 15. I got them in a box. I use one, and it's all tattered. But I got Bibles, I got them all over. I bring them to the hospital in waiting areas where they have a table where people will sit to wait to go in here. I'll just lay one down and leave it there and just walk away. I have the answer. I always do. I have it here. I have it here. I have it in the book. But sometimes I mess it up. I don't know. Am I alone here? Sometimes I mess it up. The keepers of the word, the keepers of the prophecy, miss the whole thing. But lowly shepherds in the field, they got it. It's because they made themselves, they put themselves in a position where God could reach them. May we put ourselves daily in a position where God can reach us. Blessed be his name. Breaking news. Breaking news. To the wise, of course, to the King of Kings, he will be born in one of the great cities. But these men give us pause so that we will be ever aware and pay attention that God will do it his way, to the lowly, to the common, surrounded by common. As young people, pay attention, have fun. But pay attention to the things of God. Follow the things of God. Act on the things of God. Have fun. Enjoy yourselves. But pay attention. I can name you a dozen things that are going on with me today that if I had been paying attention, it would be different today. It would be better today. I just know that. God seeks those who come to him with an open heart. And he comes on to people who will receive him. I often have to hold myself back because I don't want to be a know-it-all in front of people. You know, you don't want to push things. When people say, well, we're all the children of God, aren't we? We're all the children of God. Well, we're not all the children of God. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. John 14. We're not all the sons of God. We're the sons of God when we receive from him, when we work with him, when we follow him. He gives us power to become even the sons of God. May his name be praised. The panel discussion came to a conclusion that would spoil the move of God. It's going to spoil the move of God. The panel discussion, what they concluded was bad. Look at verse 3 again with me. Verse 3. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled. He was troubled. And all of Jerusalem with him. Amazing. And now we'll go down with me to verse 7. And then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go, search carefully for the child. And when you have found him, report to me so that I too may come and worship him." He had no intention of doing that. He was going to kill that baby right then and right there. That baby would not have lived another day. And how often did they try and kill him? How often did they try and take him? To destroy the move of God. Watch. There is not much left to trust in our society. There is not much more to trust in. You can't trust in Herod. You can't trust in the government. You can't trust. There's not much to trust in, but we can trust in God. And he will be faithful to complete in us what he has begun. John 14, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." We don't have much to trust anymore. We're watching as the institutions of our country fall away, fall apart. Who can you trust anymore? You can trust Jesus. And we can put ourselves in a place where he can touch us, where he can open our hearts. Look at the Magi. "And they went their way," verse 9, "and they followed the star to Jesus." They followed God's plan to Jesus. They had been following that star for many, many miles over many, many months and years. And now they're back and they're following it. And verse 10, "And when they saw the star, they rejoiced." They understood. They're getting a picture of what's happening here. They went to where Jesus was supposed to be, and nobody knew anything. All the great leaders, all the great priests, they knew nothing about what was going on with Jesus. Saints, it doesn't matter what anybody's saying. If we know Jesus and we open our hearts to him, he will fill us, and we will see what he is doing, and we will rejoice in what God is doing in our lives. And look what happened to them. Just like with the shepherds, now with the Magi on different ends of the spectrum, when they follow what God is giving them to do, where do they end up? "And they came to the house, found Jesus, fell down, and worshiped him." In following what God is doing, following that star, they rejoiced again because they saw it. And the star went right to the house where Jesus was. The things of God, the movement of God, the word of God in our hearts will bring us to the place where Jesus is, where he can be Lord of all, over all of us. And we can see his hand. Breaking news from the cable station in Belleville at the church on Wallace Street today. The breaking news is this: follow Jesus. Pay attention to his word. The commentators and the panel are all in agreement. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Look on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Give me 3 minutes and we'll be done. In the days we were looking at, when people were, I think I might have done this, but we'll do it again. When the people were plowing a field. Now, in today's day, you get in a tractor, you push a button, and it has GPS that takes you where you want to go. Back in those days, you had an oxen and a yoke. And the yoke went on the oxen, and it had a blade. And you had to plow this field. Now, it was imperative. You had to do this if it's your field. You had to keep your eyes focused on one point on the other end of the field. And you could not vary from that point. Because if you did, you would be with the plow, and you look over here and you turn. And then you look back over here and you turn. And then you turn. And when you get done, you got this squiggly line. But if you kept your eyes focused on one point, on the other end of that field, and you kept your eyes there, when you finished, you had a nice straight line. And then you could move over and get another, and your crops, your seeds, could go into a good furrow instead of all over the place. May God grant us grace that we will keep our eyes on Jesus. And not only keep our eyes on Jesus, but all the more focus on him. God spoke through a donkey, a hand on the wall, in dreams, in many, many varied ways. In these last days, the writer of Hebrews says, he speaks to us through his son Jesus. No other. You can't buy another book. Now, don't get me wrong. They're self-help books. I read them too. They'll help you. But they have to be centered on Jesus too. May he add his blessing. The story of the Advent is a wonderful story of God's grace, of God's mercy, of his great gift to us. May we find it all the more. May this Christmas season be the best you ever had. Enjoy yourself. It's okay. Have a piece of candy and a cake. Go to the party and enjoy it. It's okay to have some fun at Christmas. But it's more important to set our eyes upon him. May his name be praised.